the good of the group, because you know, those categories are not in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is, you know, air quality and alternative energy and fuels is interrelated, right? And solid waste recycling and water are interrelated. So if we find ourselves at an impasse, meaning everybody wants to spend their first post-it on two of those because of the interrelation, that's okay. There's not really any out of bounds for the purposes of this discussion. Does anyone have any questions about those categories up there? About
How do you define green infrastructure?
Basically, it's
we kind of talked about it under the realm of like public spaces that can be accessed by all kinds of people. So, like Jackson Park has some major elements of green infrastructure. There's trails and pathways, and they still incorporate the natural elements. It's also part of a floodplain, so it's a great place to not build critical stuff.
Sure.
So public forests. That would also be, you could consider part of those. There's also blue infrastructure is a term now too that would be like waterways and things like that.
Right. And of course, if anybody has something that's their, keeps them awake at night from an environmental perspective that's not up there, that's fair game as well. I mean, you know, with the five of us here, if
landslides.
The whole steep slope thing.
You seem to not be talking for somebody who didn't want to talk so much.
And the other thing to think about is, these are broad categories, so we'll kind of dive in and start, you know, thinking about how do we research and what kind of recommendations are we envisioning once we get ourselves to a consensus around these items.
So I'm going to put some of these other things that you're throwing out just around here so we can figure out how to
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
You
got it. So I guess our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any issues with the agenda that Rachel emailed to us?
No.
Sounds good. And what about the, did anyone get a chance, everyone get a chance to look at the recording from the prior meeting that was sent in the email?
I read the notes. I did not listen to the recording, but
right.
I was at the meeting.
Right.
But I listened.
That's and basically the intent there, just really quickly, is just so that we can bring forward issues and things we're talking about at the prior meeting, so that if, you know, like in my case, I wasn't at the last meeting, so that's a way for me to remain involved in the conversation so that I can come to the next meeting and not be asking what may be still the questions about things that were covered in the prior. So just think about that as you're getting the emails from us. So we'll move forward. So the B City update, we unfortunately don't have the individual from the B City to give us an update, B City program. What we'll do is Rachel's going to send out an email once she gets that information, and more than likely we'll try to get an individual from B City USA to come to maybe our next meeting or a meeting upcoming. The idea being that Hendersonville is the newest B City, maybe the newest B City, but recently a B City, and the idea is that there's items on the list that we may need to be working on from the EAC. There may be recommendations we need to make, research, what have you, that we need to be working on. So we'll continue to update you all about that. Our hope is to basically have a dual focus for this year. Whatever comes out of this discussion and what's left and ongoing for the B City adoption. So that's what we're going to try to focus on this year. As far as the Pam's not with us today, so I can kind of give you an ad lib of what we worked on last year. I would say the Bee City is probably our biggest activity last year. Basically, we had individuals from Bee City USA come to us, make a presentation, talk about the merits, why it's important for the population die-off. And so that was a collaboration between the EAC and our counterpart at the city level to get the commissioners and the city council on board to approve those measures and adoption of a Bee City USA program for Hendersonville. So, again, we'll learn more about that, what's left to do shortly, and we'll be sharing that with everybody as soon as we can. So we have the other thing we have on our list is new business. So we have new members. We've got Mary Beth and Philip, and Liz will be with us hopefully at our next meeting. So welcome. This is a safe place for questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question, is the thing I love to say. But you know, we all learn from each other in this environment. So if you have something you're thinking about, I would encourage you to bring it up in this meeting. Or if you're just not comfortable in that, you know, grab myself or Rachel afterwards or in between meetings, and we'll go from there. So that brings us to...
Who's the chair?
Myself.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
You need to turn your name down.
Oh, sorry. There we go. Sorry about that. So, yeah, anything is fair game as far as questions in the meetings or outside. We can go from there. So I think the meat of our discussion today is going to be around trying to gain a consensus. Again, these are not all inclusive, but we tried to get topics that we could really dig into, right? Now, what these... Did everyone get a copy of the environmental program's goals for 2015, 2016?
No.
I think this is helpful because what we do on the EAC is we work in partnership with the engineering department of Henderson County, the idea being that in a best-case scenario, the EAC would make a recommendation independent of engineering, if that's the case, and then the commissioners would then have two recommendations.
Is there another one?
Yes, ma'am. Two recommendations to make a decision from. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, some of these items up on this list may have some crossover. For example, agriculture, there's another committee that handles agriculture. There's ag business in Henderson County. There's various programs, committees, what have you, that we may need to elicit commentary, support, partnership, collaboration, what have you. You're fine. There's a lot up there, but I think there's a lot of opportunity in Henderson County for us to work with similar organizations to accomplish our goals. Does anyone have any questions about what's up there outside of things that just that we've added so far? Copy
I got everything.
All right, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
I got everything.
All right.
She needs stickies, though.
So, Kimberly, really quickly to bring it up to speed, behind you we have our discussion items, basically six categories that of what we'd like to, we're thinking about focusing on, or areas, essentially, and our goal is to reach a consensus around an item. Now, it may not just be water. It may be water.
One yet?
Not yet. No, you come at the right time. So, we've got.
Here we have.
Too many choices.
So, yeah, and what I was telling everybody is, this is your first choice. Yellow
second
is your second.
Choice.
Green is second. Your choices may be interrelated. So, if you go up there, Kimberly, and you say, "Well, you know, I love green infrastructure," which we said a moment ago is basically land use. Could be recreation. It could be blue use, which is like waterways and so forth. Well, infrastructure in agriculture may be interrelated.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
So if you want to put one in the middle, we'll just
okay.
just say that, and we'll say, okay, we got a hybrid essentially.
Okay.
So I think I think it'll help if we go ahead and make our votes, and then we can have discussion around what we envision accomplishing. You know, so the idea being, if everybody says, yeah, air quality is my number one, we'll start focusing on that, right? And we'll have discussion around how we're going to start cutting this initiative, basically. Philip, do you want to start? And we'll work towards Kimberly, or does everyone want to go up at the same time? I mean, we can.
I don't mind. I've got one. If I can interject.
Sure.
I'm Marcus Jones, a county engineer for the Upview folks, and our department staffs EAC. And my department has solid waste. I have a sewer system in the north part of the county. We do erosion control and stormwater management programs. What else we do? And just about any project, we're somehow involved in the county in that regard. And last but not least, environmental programs. And Rachel heads that up for us with focus on recycling and waste diversion and also energy use. And those are the two take up most of our time, but we get involved in a lot of different things. And, excited to see some new faces and very impressive resumes. So looking forward to hearing what y'all have to say and your input. And I've got to take off to another meeting, but wanted to come by and say hello. And you're certainly welcome to give me a call if you have any questions. You know, well, they're not going to be any that Rachel can't answer that I can, but if you want to humor me, go ahead and give me a call. Thanks again for your volunteering. We appreciate it. It's important input for the commissioners to get from you guys. And take care. We'll see you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it.
You want to be our leadoff?
Sure, yeah.
I say we just storm the board.
Are you happy with these categories? Do you want me to break another sheet into sections so that you can put your ones and twos?
We're happy enough.
Yeah.
This will work.
Great, stick it down. Go ahead.
Did you have any other categories you wanted to add?
No.
That you had, like, in the hopper ready?
That's what I meant to do, but let me double check that. This is actually from my annual review, so I'm going to borrow this.
Sure.
So this is actually stuff that's happening. The education and outreach piece is a little bit tricky for this committee because you're really kind of more so serving in a capacity to provide recommendations and research and insight on things that could work countywide to the commissioners, and then, you know, if they want to make a resolution or if they want to make a suggestion for action to be taken, they'll kick it back to staff to figure out how that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the education and outreach portion is a little bit tricky for you guys. No, I think everything that I would be doing is out there for sure. Mm-hmm.
So are we putting our sticky notes on?
Right. Yeah, we'll just put them.
Yeah.
We'll just
okay.
put them.
I think the idea is that visual representation
of
the group's desires for this committee.
Right.
And what direction they want to take it.
Exactly.
I
like it.
I wrote on mine. I thought we was doing a vote.
No, you can't. It's what I'm trying to build. This will go a little bit deeper, so.
And they do all go hand in hand a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why it was tough. I was like, man.
So mine slides whatever goes up there, or are we going to try to stick it in under something else?
I may be off base, but I almost think, Jan, with something like that, that could be in the green infrastructure category
that
because
too.
You're talking, you know, land use is how we're living on the land and utilizing it, I think, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Could be her proxy.
Shoot
only one for solid waste.
That was my second.
I know, second.
But it kind of goes hand in hand with.
But that's the toughest
with the
one.
The water quality and.
It does, but it's the toughest one. Getting cancer. And doing your solid waste. It's the hardest
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
It is.
I think we're pretty good standing in air quality at the for the time being.
Water problem.
She's dresses really nice.
She's done water and she has a lot of focus on garden.
Yeah.
Gardens, trails, land use.
She loves
respect to plants.
Yeah, right. She's like the rest of us. Everything on the list, right?
I'll put water
yeah.
next to her.
Yeah.
So
that, sounds,
water.
That sounds fair.
What do you do for her personal?
The alternative energy.
Okay.
So that's
yeah, that's everybody's got their votes in.
Well, alternative energy is coming around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're building another solar farm out by my house.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Second one, it's number 16.
Yeah.
I got 14 and 16 right down the road from my house.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's cool.
There's actually some component of solar energy in every county in the entire state of North Carolina. North Carolina is now
yeah.
fourth in the nation for alternative.
Yeah.
Well, for solar energy production.
Yeah,
wow.
It's coming
really
up.
Amazing.
Yes.
It used to be not even
very lost. Inside
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I'll kind of just really briefly catch you up on a couple of these things that I'm actually working on and are happening. So this alternative, you take out the energy and just look at the fuels part. I do a lot of the fuels management and consumption use monitoring for all of our fleet in Henderson County, and then I work a lot on our alternative fuels. So I'm very excited that we are going to be getting two gas electric hybrids for the DSS department, because they were super all about being the guinea pigs.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited about that. So we're up to about 8 CNG buses through WCCA that run the public bus system. We're going to get another CNG truck for the public buildings, which is the inspections department. So we continue to use the CNG station that we've got. So we're kind of where we are right now with alternative fuels is kind of where we're going to be for this fiscal year. And then my hope is to start talking with other departments to either look at some propane conversions for next year, or if the gas electric hybrids go well, then maybe I can get some other departments in some. I hope I get to at least ride in one of them.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties a lot in with air quality. So I'm on a committee through the Land of Sky Regional Council called the Clean Air Campaign that I go to every month. And it's Buncombe County, City of Asheville, Hendersonville, Henderson County, and then a couple other surrounding counties. And we just all kind of report on things like we're getting gas electric hybrids, you know, and then look at a lot of the air quality reports. The Buncombe County Air Quality Agency is always there too, so they're kind of the science portion of the discussion. So if you're interested in air quality stuff, you know, let me know, and I have some folks, you know, to put you in touch with if you really want to know more about that. But we definitely have some experts in the area, and there's some legislation right now, I don't know where it is in the state, but it could really diminish air quality monitoring throughout the state, which would probably be not that great of a move. But so there's kind of that going on right now, so that's really going to determine how a lot of this alternative fuel stuff keeps going in the state. waste reduction stuff. It's only got one pink tag, but I'm going to be doing composting at Apple Festival again this year, so if anyone would like to volunteer. I had volunteer sheets, and I forgot them in my office, so I'll send you the link to sign up to volunteer.
Yeah, I expected that today. I
please,
did. I was like,
please sign
oh,
up. I need a lot of help. But we're working on just revamping some of the recycling programs that we offer for citizens out at Solid Waste. And we brought Mercury Recycling on this year. I'll be extending Mercury Recycling for another couple years with this grant, and then looking at other ways to start taking more and more things. The world of electronics recycling is really, really slippery for everybody right now, as you've seen through a lot of newspapers and things, we've had to start charging for TVs and monitors. We just got a fee scheduled from our recycler the other day, but they're going to start charging us for everything that we take. So we got to figure out how that's going to work. So there's just always, the market forces are just affecting absolutely everything. In fact, recycling markets are so, so down right now across the whole nation. And there's actually some communities that have stopped collecting glass altogether because it fetches nothing in the market. So I don't, hopefully we won't have to go in that direction because we're still good with the mark that we use in Eco, but we'll see. So we just need to keep putting a lot of quality recyclables into our bins here in the county of Umpqua. I don't do a whole lot with agriculture. I'd like to, but I don't do a whole lot with that. Water would be a really good thing to get our stormwater and erosion control person in engineering. Her name is Natalie Berry. It'd be a really good thing to pull her in on. And the green infrastructure, we could pull in some planning folks if we needed to do that. Kieran from CMLC came in January or February.
That's right.
Talked about some regional forest planning, conservation stuff. So there's lots of good community resources for that if that's a direction you want to go. So that's nice. I'll go back to you guys.
So I guess a general question about our water seems to be our first choice, I would say, and then green infrastructure is number two. I mean, do we think it's better to research water, you know, conservation and quality, what have you, before we make a decision to run with it for 12 months? Because there may be a barrier there that we just can't see at this point in the journey. Or do we want to say that we're going to run with water and green infrastructure? You know, the idea being that we only meet bi-monthly, right? And so we want to make good use of our time so we can make some headway, right, with our desire, our issues we see up here.
If you really get down to the nitty-gritty bones of it, everything on that board ties into water.
It does.
Yeah.
Every single item on there is.
That's why it was tough to pick.
Well, and I think it's especially timely right now. If you get water from the city, you know that there's an advisory for reduction of usage and things like that. And I think.
So, what water do we want to focus on? Like stream water?
Well, that's what we have to contend with. I mean, it's
because
all of it's fair game.
Mountain True would be a good person to link with, because we do biomonitoring for them, which is monitoring the stream wildlife.
We do too.
Yeah, you do too. Nice. So that's a good place to start, I guess, for the biomonitoring, and that would also tie into your landslides and infrastructures.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't want to duplicate.
Right.
No, that's what I'm saying. So what's the main goal? To clean up the water from, like, runoff?
I'd say the
pinpoint
beginning focus
bit.
Would be conservation at this point, because they are making the demands for less usage. And
that's it.
I'll throw a curveball in the mix, just in the sense of, I think this is kind of what I was thinking when I started thinking about water conservation, right? And to me, the best way you get someone energized about anything is get them connected. So to me, there's a companionship to water conservation, to green infrastructure. Basically what I'm getting at is if I spend my time fishing, canoeing, kayaking, then you know, you can hang your hat on the fact that I'm going to be passionate and energized about, you know, preserving the water resources of Henderson County.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, definitely, in that case, our one and two can be very much, and everything on that list, for that matter, can be very much kind of part and parcel. You know, it just rests with us. What do we want to focus on, spend our time and energy on, with the intent of making an educated recommendation to the commissioners at some point during this term. Yeah. That's basically what we're working towards. With B-City, that's what we did. We did research, and we basically said, okay, here's our recommendation for these reasons, and then it rests with the commissioners to say, yeah, that's good. I want the engineering to research it, or planning, or whomever. So we're kind of the catalyst, if you want to think about it in those terms.
do we need to think about what is doable? Also, like B City, they probably don't have to spend a lot of money doing
right.
anything.
Yeah, there's always economic viability in every recommendation and every decision the commissioners make. So we have to consider that most definitely.
The committees don't have budgets or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind too. But what they're going to recommend is definitely going to take staff resources to make sure that it's not going to cost a whole lot of money.
Do you think it's helpful, Rachel, to kind of flip over and say, okay, water.
Okay.
What's most important to us about water? Is it quality? Is it conservation? Is it usage? You know, what have you? Because then we can kind of zero in. I think it'd be helpful to get a drill down list, and then we can say to Rachel, in the county, you know, what can you tell us about this? Is there programs in place? Is this something we're not going to be able to make a dent in? You know, because there's just some things that are just kind of out of our reach.
Yeah, we probably need to research and see what conservation efforts are already in place before we could decide what steps that we could take.
Because there's a lot of volunteers out there. There's the Adopt the Stream program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's what Chris does. They do the stream restorations.
And maybe even what we think about it today is just kind of brainstorm, and then among the committee members and Rachel, we can reach out, whether it's to Mountain True and the different organizations who are already involved in this type of conservation work or water in general, and then maybe they get 5 minutes to come talk to us at our next meeting, and then we're kind of like, okay, now we feel like we have a better basis to make a decision about what's our direction for this year. Because, I mean, you can't have too much information, I think, in this kind of regard.
I know Mountain True is doing several things this month with different venues,
mm-hmm.
and so if we could find a way to get some public awareness into the venues, I'm sure Mountain True would be more than glad to help us.
Help us.
Yeah.
I think this conversation, we're trying to nail down our goals, and then like what actual avenues do we have to accomplish those goals.
Right.
So we can come, I think it'd be good now as part of the brainstorming to come up with the different goals for water, whether that's surface water, groundwater, runoff from construction sites, from development perspective. Mm-hmm. And then for each of those, like in this genre, it's all about improving quality. Like fixing whatever humans altered from this natural state. So once you develop the goals, you see, do we have an avenue to correct or improve this situation?
Right.
And if we did that for each of these, then we could pretty clearly identify like which ones would be a good fit to keep talking about for 6 months, 12 months. So for water, I think the categories would be surface water, groundwater, and
runoff.
Runoff is surface water, but I guess you have like
park. I'm thinking
drinking
like
water,
parking lot runoff
the
that goes back
city
into
water
our system.
Stuff.
Potable
water.
Water
it,
system.
It kind of falls into its own category.
It's controlled by the Hendersonville Water Department.
Yeah.
Okay, so we could take those three and figure out, say, what's wrong with each of those. Surface water, you could say there's algae blooms. When it rains, the water gets muddy. And then do we have an avenue to address that problem that we want to fix? Am I thinking about this appropriately?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because not only is it, once we kind of get those focus, these pieces you're talking about, Philip, it's then we can start looking at our other municipalities working on these and how, what kind of success have they had, you know, and I think that's really helpful.
In construction areas too,
yeah.
As far as surface runoff from them and deterioration.
Well, and something I think it's a think about a lot with surface water is composting. You know, if I burn all my leaves, or they go to the county for in the recycling program or city, what have you, then you know the soil doesn't get the enriching. You know, I basically stripped the top of the soil, which would basically compost naturally and keep my not make it so that my trees and grass, flowers, what have you, don't need quite as much water to sustain them. So you know, we may get to a point where recommendations around that could be in place to residents. And that may go hand in hand with your composting program.
So let's identify what we see is wrong with the surface waters in the county. And that's everything from stuff that's running off from your lot
right.
that you live on to muddy water in the creek that you see when you drive over Clear Creek or Mud Creek.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that more or less erosion control? Or is that...
Oh, runoff and erosion.
Yeah, that Mud Creek's a lot of erosion.
Mills River is the intake for the surface water in the city, so now you're looking at consumption issues there. So that's kind of like the conservation piece, and then there's a quality piece I would suggest to the surface water. So there's different ways. I'm just not
sure.
So our erosion control stormwater manager, Natalie, she'd be the best one to answer a lot of questions on this. So if you wanted to maybe come up with three to five things about this that you're curious about that are affecting surface water just as a general thing in Henderson County, we can put those together, you can give them to me, and I can get you some answers on that. And then it may come back that she's got a handle on it, we're good, or she really needs help with you kind of recommending something to the commissioners that would help her.
So do you think it's helpful to say kind of just that, what are you working on, and what's your... In a best case scenario, what would you like to work on? What can we assist you with? I mean,
yeah,
from a staff perspective?
Yeah, I need to be educated. I've got no idea what is going on, what the projects are now, what problems are being addressed, and what.
Disturbance on a certain acreage of land. So if it's under, I think the threshold's an acre. If it's under an acre, I think they have to do some kind of erosion or sediment control measures, but not nearly the level that you have to do if you're disturbing over an acre. So those are things that would be in our ordinance for the county that I can, you know, summarize and give you these things so that you can know. Or she could be one of your presenters if you wanted
right.
to do that too.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea because there may be new questions that we don't have now that may come up once we hear what her focus is.
Okay.
The other thing I think about with surface water is runoff from agriculture. You see the
definitely agriculture.
And silviculture. It is agriculture, but there's active logging every year in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And logging, this would be something that Natalie could address. They don't follow the same rules as regular developers because they're in the agriculture category.
So maybe just her touching on her interaction or not with some of how that affects surface water quality or...
I guess what we're doing is asking Natalie to give a presentation on the county's ordinance for surface water quality measures to control it. to the erosion control and stormwater ordinance overview.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So she could probably give us information on where we need to focus for her.
And she might have a direct comment that would say, here's the big hole.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I think it'd take us a long time because it's so broad and there's so many things that we don't know. We're going to be doing a lot of learning before we get to a point where we can do anything, and she probably has an answer right away.
Sure. Do you think a great companion to Natalie's presentation would be maybe, because my understanding is this, all the water testing is done by Mountain True, you know, formerly ECO, all that kind of stuff. So would it be a good companion to have maybe Mark from Mountain True come and say, okay, here's what we're seeing in the in Henderson County's waterways. You know, it's the runoff from ag is an issue, the algae blooms are an issue, and I think that'll help us kind of zero in on what we want to sink our teeth into.
Evan.
That works.
I wanted to say Kevin for some reason.
I'll say I'm Ethan.
So, are you all in agreement that you would like for these two people to come to the next meeting, or do you want to come up with a schedule of what you...
Well, when do we have to have a decision? By the first of the year?
It's totally up to you guys. It's totally up to you. If we want them to come, I just want to give them time to know that they'll be coming to present.
It might not be a bad thing to have them at once.
Yeah. We give them, like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to speak at our next meeting, and then, you know.
Because for all we know, they might work together on some of this stuff.
True. Do you think it would be helpful to also have someone from the city's water department to talk about usage and where they see issues? Because I think we're talking about erosion control, we're talking about water quality. If we put usage in the mix, then we kind of have almost a little bit of a trifecta of, like, okay, this is where the issues are, and then we
and
can
I'm
make
sure
a decision from those issues.
And some of that probably goes into groundwater, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have a well, and everyone outside of town has a well, but they all have to be monitored.
That's true.
So we would know the water level of the that as well.
Yeah, there's a community in Dana.
That's where I live. Mm-hmm.
They had, I live near Dana also. They had they got some grant to run the water lines out there because
their water was poisoned.
Mm-hmm. Somebody could probably speak more adequately on this, but the groundwater is contaminated because of apple fertilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like old it's not the the newer stuff. It was an old apple farm.
Right.
They said that it was safe because we had ours tested because we were within a mile from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on a different aquifer, but yeah. It was scary. And they know all about that too. And the health department. That's who we had to go through for the water quality.
Yeah. Environmental programs.
Yeah. They have the water quality results too.
Nice.
They permit all the wells and
mm-hmm.
Septic systems.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
So maybe if we have four presenters at our next meeting, we're going to have a long meeting.
The person in our group that I was going to suggest would be Mill River Partnership.
Okay.
They're kind of the key group that's organizing all kinds of people who interact with surface water on Mills River where the intakes are. And they're a nonprofit that does a lot of agriculture-focused water conservation. So I would suggest that their director would be maybe a good person to speak as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all can have a two-hour meeting every time you meet. It's up to y'all. You know? So if you really wanted to have four people, you could have all four people done within an hour if you wanted to.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. I think there'd probably be a lot of interesting interchange between
there
them.
Would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be interesting.
Okay.
That sounds good. That'll be very helpful.
Yeah, they might enjoy it.
Maybe a crash
though.
Course in water conservation and quality.
Yeah.
So maybe a problem that I see us kind of specifically addressing is I spend some time on the French Broad, and it's common knowledge that Henderson County ag runoff makes it gross in Buncombe County.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Specifically the Mills River area, I think that's kind of, that idea is kind of behind the Mills River Partnership, developing best management practices to help reduce all that. But generally, when it rains, the French rock is really gross. Like it smells like horse cow manure and stuff. So maybe like, you know, French broad water quality, you know, from the exit point of our county, is there a way that we can implement changes to ordinances or whatever it is so that 3 years from now, that'll be an improvement?
Yeah.
You know, 1 year rain event, at this point, we score zero, and then 3 years from now, we get scores better.
Yeah. I think that would be the best way for us to, you know, make the biggest impact in our overall water quality in Henderson County.
That's kind of like the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Henderson County Environmental, we're talking about surface water, French rod, hello.
Yeah, right. Maybe a hope would be that whatever ahas we have in that kind of focus, if it is Mills River and what are the issues, and maybe those can kind of be cross, that kind of information can be pollinated elsewhere, you know? Like maybe we have some ahas here, maybe the city does things differently, or maybe Mills River Partnership, or, you know, Mountain Truitt, who knows? But yeah, I agree that this can be a very interesting conversation at our next meeting with those presenters.
I would maybe suggest to your point that there might be some pieces of the land development code in the county that have something to do with development within the floodplain. You know, how many acres you can develop within the floodplain, what kind of development, what kind of stormwater erosion control you have to have within that development, you know, segment near the floodplain. There's probably some stuff in there around the conservation of water quality within the floodplain that would directly affect what's going into the French Broad. And then somebody like Mountain True could speak to cleanups of, you know, stuff floating around, you know. So we could ask someone from planning if they wanted to speak to the kind of like land development co-conservation piece. I'm just thinking this would save us some lurching time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can find it in the code. It's just I don't look at it every day, and I won't be able to answer specific things. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of would that maybe help put some light into it, or?
Yeah, certainly. I think maybe before we ask anybody to come speak, we kind of further develop what it is we want to address. Or maybe we don't know if we can address it until we talk to them and see what our avenues of correction are.
Yeah. I think my inclination is the latter, you know, that we wait and see what everybody else has to say. Because we're kind of distilling our focus, you know, it's kind of the way I think about it. And, you know, not trying to do something that somebody else may have tried to do 4 or 5 years ago that just didn't work for a certain reason that we're just not aware of at this point in time. I don't know. Do you think the code is something that could just be sent to us as far as, you know, like a document to say, you know, or is it just too large? No, but I mean, like, if someone staff side, you know, the planning or what have you, were to say, yeah, I think based on what, you know, if we could kind of give them a sense of what our discussion has been today and what we're thinking about Mills River, whatever. And then say, is there anything in the ordinance that you can think we may be running into or may run into? Because I think we could get in the deep end of the pool really quickly if we got, you know, five presenters with us.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, but they can provide some. Sure. I'll take these with me. Don't worry. I'll take them because I don't have to write it all down again.
Snap a picture of it before you turn it.
That's true. That's a good point.
With a lot of environmental activism, generally speaking, it's hard to quantify results. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of just why I said that, you know, at a point, make a measurement, and then at some point in the future, make another measurement after same time of year, same kind of rainfall, mm-hmm. to be able to quantify that thing, because all the stuff, not true, and, you know, the erosion control ordinance, whatever all that stuff is like, the idea of it is great, but it's hard to know, like, what the effect is.
Right. It may be a situation, you know, I know I've seen their emails about, like, the river cleanups and the ongoing testing. It may be that they already have that historical information, so when Evan comes, he can say, okay, here's the trend we've seen, and what comes to mind for me when we're talking about how to quantify it? Last year, one of the things that was handed out was, I think it was like a sustainability profile or something like that for Henderson County. And what we were told is this is one of the pieces of information that Sierra Nevada looked at, right? And so to me, that's somewhat of a, you know, a tool. So if we say, well, when Sierra Nevada came here, this is what the water quality was. You know, when they decided to come here, well, now it's this, and we're seeing a slipping trend. And I think that's a reason to do, you know, a way to get people's attention, because it's, you know, that's business and jobs, and, you know, that's everybody.
Yeah, they're business, jobs, conservation, and green infrastructure are all wrapped
right,
in the
right,
one company.
Right.
And they monitor it, too.
Mm-hmm.
They keep a close eye on it.
That's right. Right. Yeah. So.
And I know there's data out there. Someone has it.
Oh, yeah.
I bet Evan probably can
that's
send
the
you everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he can tell you everything of mm-hmm. levels and conditions and wildlife.
Actually, their annual reports are probably still online, aren't they?
Should be.
An annual report?
It should be. They're all there, even years back.
It goes back to 92. So.
Yeah, that's good.
It's there.
Yeah, great.
I don't know so much that the commissioners would take a recommendation to move towards some kind of like funded water quality monitoring data, because I know in the past, groups like Mountain True have always applied for some of the nonprofit funding that the county provides every year. And I know a lot of that money in the past has gone towards BWIN because it's expensive to run actual tests. So I would think of it more so from the perspective of, is there some kind of policy or something that's written into the policies already through the Land Development Code or ordinances that isn't necessarily working or is working against some of the data that they're collecting? Maybe try and think of it. And I would also make a suggestion to see what kind of information you're going to get. Like Lee Smith is the water utilities director for the city, so we can ask him to come. But I don't know if it would be necessarily appropriate to make a recommendation to the commissioners that the county says for the city to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already got a lot of really good stuff going on at the city, you know. So it may be that you can find some way to work together, but I don't know if one telling the other is going to really
mm-hmm. work. I don't know,
but I'm pretty inclined that it needs to work.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there. Rachel, in the existence of the EAC, has there ever been a shared focus? I mean, I know Bee City, obviously, but between the city's iteration and the county's iteration?
I'm not aware of a whole lot. I mean, Bee City was a really, really good, super collaborative thing with a lot of groups.
Yeah.
But as far as other initiatives, I don't...
Because I wonder even if we could invite the city's committee, whatever, to come and sit in at our next meeting so they get, you know, to hear what the presenters are sharing. And then it's like, you know, the presenters can leave if they want, but then we can have, I think, maybe a shared conversation, if that's not out of bounds, to say, you know, which,
sure.
I don't know.
You can invite them to have a conversation about why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, it makes sense there.
Because we're all using the water, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah. That way, too, again, you're not duplicating a
right.
lot of effort.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you've done research on something you're interested in.
Yeah.
You're out there.
Yeah.
So their chair right now, I think it's Jerry Connolly. David, who was on our committee, was their chair, but then he think Jerry is their chair right now.
Okay.
So I invited her to come today. She had guests from my town, so she didn't come. But we'll just keep her on the email list.
Yeah, I think especially since we're not having a meeting next week or next month, it's, you know, we have a little bit of time. Hopefully folks can plan to be there. I think that's going to be a really interesting conversation to see what we come up with.
So your next highest ranking thing was green infrastructure.
Take a picture.
To research some stuff.
Paper's made out of sugar cane, I'll have you know. Thank you, Staples. They do a good job.
There you go.
So this is the only other category where there were four sticky notes, and then there were just, there was one, we only had two total votes in solid waste recycling, one total vote in alternative energy, zero in air quality, and zero in local agriculture. So you can kind of narrow yourselves down already into two big things. So we'll see where it goes.
Under, I guess this, in case anybody doesn't know, Mountain True is going to be at Southern Appalachian Brewery from 6 to 8 today, I think, talking about phase 3 of the Ocklawaha Greenway program, which I'm not sure what part phase 3 is, maybe over to the RCC, or maybe phase 3 is up to Berkeley Park. But anyway, that would be a good place to be.
Where was it at?
Southern Appalachian Brewery. Our local watering hole.
Is the Ocklawaha Greenway the only one in the county?
I think so.
It's the only developed.
Paved trail longer than a mile.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, that would be it.
And mostly because it's sewer right of way. That's a really good greenway. Literal greenway.
So we have the topics into this can be Ocklawaha Greenway.
Right. Creek Greenway?
Because
that's the same word. I don't
know how to spell.
I can spell
Ocklawaha.
Okay, go ahead.
OK. LA. W A H A.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought. Okay.
There's some CH spellings of it too, instead of a K. Weird. And then, so the other obvious topic for this would be the one with Transylvania County.
Acusta.
Acusta Trail, yeah. It's not existing, but.
Pretend.
Well, and another one that I've heard about is there's supposedly one that's coming from Lake Julian. I don't know how close to the county line it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, John Mitchell told me about that one, so maybe we can
Lake Julian Greenway.
Something like that.
They're
making one up there, so you know that could be another.
Where's Lake Julian?
South Asheville, right off 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there's the one that Sierra Nevada wants to put from whatever Westfelt Park.
I think that's the same one.
Is it the same one?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think I read something about something along 280.
I think
that's the
this whole thing.
No. But maybe it's this.
I think
Julian.
There was some bike ped federal money that was going into a study to do that. There was a corridor along 280. I don't know what it's called, but I'll write it 280 corridors. I don't know. I'll just go with that.
I thought I read that that had something to do with the West Belt Park one.
I think the idea is to connect it all the way down from Lake Julian to Sierra Nevada all the way down.
They're even going to go all the way down to Oscar Blues.
Right, I heard that too.
But that's the next committee.
So I don't really know where the county stands on greenways. I know that in the past it's not been a very popular political topic. There's been some stuff in the newspaper recently about it, though. And
do you have an opinion of what makes it unpopular?
Well, there's always the funding aspect of keeping it up and maintaining it, because there's kind of the security aspect of putting up some kind of lighting, just making sure that it's safe for people to be on at all times of the day. If it's not in a place like Jackson Park, I mean, that's a pretty safe trail. So there's that aspect. There's also the actual property itself of where the line's going to go. I don't think, and this is probably the case in a lot of communities, I don't think that the political perspective of taking away some property to put into the public use for a greenway is not a very popular viewpoint. So it would need to be something like a sewer right-of-way, where it's already, you've already got X number of feet on either side of the creek or whatever.
Or a rail-to-trail.
The rail-to-trail. And then there's all these federal crazy implications.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different levels of involvement, but there's also, which is very popular now, is the public health aspect of allowing, you know, a safe place for anybody in your community to go and experience nature and be healthy in that way.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's something that's very much related to what Rachel just mentioned about the public health. I work at the Free Clinics, and we're working on a program where basically training doctors so that they know how to write a prescription for green space, essentially. But it sounds kind of crazy, but there is a lot of very impressive research, places like the UK where they've done this and seen these amazing outcomes. It's basically, what you're essentially doing is getting people, showing people how important it is to get outside, essentially. And that goes back to the connection and getting people to have more strong feelings about the environment. I think that's a way to do it. So I think there's energy around that. I think and that's a project we're doing at the health department, the federally qualified health centers, the hospitals. So it's a pretty big project. But another thing that's kind of relates back to our first thing is waterways as well. I mean, that's, you know, kind of responsible and sustainable use of our waterways. Mm-hmm. Are there any quote unquote blue ways in Western North Carolina that you're aware of, Rachel? Like, do they ever say like, okay,
the
there's the boaters.
Yeah, so that would be considered a.
There's not one on Mud Creek, a Clear Creek, and they're, at least, maybe not now, but in the winter and spring, they're navigable.
Right.
And no one ever battles them. There's no like, developed access to either of those.
Right.
So John Mitchell, who was the director of
community and business development, something
that's
like
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. So John has planning, he has recreation, he has environmental health. He's got quite a few departments underneath him that would deal with a lot of this kind of stuff, kind of like what you're talking about, the project you're working on. He may be a really good person to come and just let you know about some of these access points or kind of where he sees the planning department going with some of these kinds of developments. Would be much better to speak to about what's already happening. You'd also be able to speak to kind of the political will of how things may or may not play out, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different people involved in each of these different kinds of projects, and there's a lot of private and public money that would make things happen that you're not aware of. So that would be my suggestion. Don't think you'd want to have him come in the same meeting with all the water people.
No,
to
just
another. Start going. Okay.
Do you think we're likely, slightly off subject, to have a December meeting this year? I know last year. Wasn't that the one where we thought too many people were out of town?
Too many people were out of town, and then we didn't have January because I think we had to close the offices for the county because the weather was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
We kept pushing it and pushing it.
First Thursday is the third.
That's early enough in the month.
That seems pretty early. It's up to you guys.
I'll be here.
You can wait and see how you feel at the October meeting, and if you feel like you don't want
to. Well, we only meet every other month. If you miss a meeting, that's really a long time before you do it again.
Well,
yeah,
and I think for the good of the group, that's something we've talked about in our meetings the last year is our frequency on target. I mean, are we meeting too much, not enough? Particularly with the things we're trying to focus on. I mean, that I think that's something we have to take into context.
A lot of questions,
yeah.
A lot of talking, a lot of discussions.
Right. And I think sometimes there's a danger of losing momentum in a bi-monthly meeting. Particularly if there's something you're really trying to hammer home. But, I mean, I think that's something we could talk about as we get our arms around what we're going to do. You know, if we say, okay, guys, we're going to work on this issue on the Mills French Broad, and we feel like we've heard from the presenters, and we can make this happen, but we need more than a bi-monthly meeting. I mean, that would just be among the committee members to say, yeah, I'm available for a once-a-month meeting or whatever. Nothing would be worse than to put a lot of energy into it and then
well,
not be able
when we were doing like the Bee City research and stuff, it's like we would do it all like in 2 weeks and then we're like sitting on it.
Mm-hmm.
God, we gotta go tell them.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
Right.
And if you get to the point where you want to craft some kind of recommendation to the commissioners, it's probably going to take more than one meeting. Like the one that we had sent to the commissioners for Bee City, you know, I gave them a heads up that it was coming, so they'd know, because there was such a long background of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that when they got the letter from Pam that you all agreed to, they were like, oh yeah, I remember talking about this. So this was a popular category. Are there other pieces to green infrastructure that you want to throw up here?
I would like to put up some sort of blue way. Like, yet to be determined. Mud Creek, maybe, because it is visible from the Ocala Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
There's ample, like, city-owned, publicly-owned property on it that could be access points.
What do you need for an access point? How much is it? Something fairly simple, like
it's a sliding scale.
Okay.
Because you know, I could probably crawl down a bank at
mm-hmm.
any bridge, but to carry a canoe, and some people aren't as physically fit. And they might need stairs or some actual poured concrete abutments.
There's that new access in Mills River Park. You know about that one? They just finished it within the last month.
What is Mills River Park?
That's where the...
And there's a dog park in Mills River.
It's beyond that toward, you know, beyond the dog park. There's the building with the municipal offices and library and all
mm-hmm.
that. Beyond that. Where Hooper's Creek crosses the...
Is the access
the Mills?
On the Mills River?
Yeah.
The North
so.
Mills there,
yeah.
I guess?
Isn't that North Mills there, Mary Davenport?
They're
the one that goes under the Davenport
together,
Bridge.
Yeah, I think there's like a tubing sign.
Well, it's an access point for more than just tubing, I would say, from looking at it.
Yeah, I've seen people taking dogs, kids swimming, you know.
Yeah,
canoes.
But I think you could even, when the water's running well, maybe not right now, get a kayak.
Yeah.
Certainly tubing. Anyway.
Yeah. I think the goal with
they put some money into doing that and the fishing platform they did there.
I'm gonna go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the I think the goal with any Blue Way is, and the French Broad Paddle Trail, they do it, its main point is to get people to do it, to get people there so they're on the river and they're like, why do I smell cow manure? Like that's kind of the whole push behind it and why the Riverkeeper was behind the paddle trail so much, because it inevitably leads to
cleaning it up.
Yeah. And knowing that we have a urban waterway in town that's underground for a lot of ways in front of the like healthy supermarket. It's kind of odd. But I think it'd be cool to get more people to actually see the quality, experience the quality of Mud Creek.
Actually been under the tunnel and the cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty disgusting.
Does everybody know the cleanup, what's it called, is coming next month?
Big Sweep.
Next month, Big Sweep.
I'm going to have to sideboard more about this tunnel because I'm not familiar, but I'm very curious.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I'm like, this tunnel, underwater tunnel?
Half the Fresh Market parking lot is a culvert.
Oh, Fresh Market.
Oh,
okay.
Okay,
no, I do know about that.
I was thinking of the co-op. That's
that.
Why I was...
No.
I was
I was way off too. Yeah, I know about that one.
Yeah, okay.
You see people that live down there.
Calling it the healthy supermarket.
Well,
it was.
Healthier than Ingles, so I guess.
Okay. Well, another thing that I think about with related to access and green infrastructure is, you know, how do people get on the river, you know, if they don't have a kayak, a canoe, right? Because, you know, if I don't have golf clubs, I can't go play golf, right? If I don't have this, you know, so where does that come from? You know, where is there a mechanism? Is there something in place? You know, I've heard rumors that places like Blue Ridge had an outdoor ed program. They have a whole fleet of canoes that are just sitting because funding reductions, like sequestration. I mean, there's so I think, I don't know. You know, I won't.
Well,
I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Well, one bad thing is I take my kids down to Big Hungry, and we go swimming probably twice a week at Big Hungry.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is they block the public off to these places because of people trashing them.
Like dumping.
And the game
like
wardens will tell you that, you know, you're not allowed to swim here because people are trashing. It don't matter if you go down there and you pick up bags of trash.
Yeah.
They will tell you you can't swim there. You know, that's the battle, is getting people to respect the land, the water, and all of that, because if not, they're going to kick us off of it, and they're not going to let you have access to it. So that you have to fix that. And put trash cans there. Are people going to use them? You would hope so, but they don't. You know, so that's a big thing.
Or they drive up and put their household trash in it.
Yeah. I mean, people, couches and beds, and, you know, it's crazy. Crazy. You know, Big Sweep. And so I go pick up stuff on side roads all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a bad thing. People disrespect it. Someone has to maintain it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find that person to maintain it if you make it available to the public. Who's going to take care of it? Who's going to clean it up? And that's where
we have a public that cares enough, because we ran into a big brick wall trying to find out about putting recycling bins in Fletcher Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it was like,
Pulling teeth.
Up against a wall, and nobody wants to answer your questions. Nobody wants to give you any information.
No one wants to do anything.
So, but that's something that I would like to see happen in the parks.
Is there still stream access at Fletcher Park?
Yes.
I haven't been there in a while.
Mm-hmm. There is. We go play in there all the time.
My modest opinion, I think with the stuff we've been talking about here, whether it's the green infrastructure or the water conversation, you're basically turning more people on, right? And the more people that are turned on, you have advocates. I mean, a few years ago, I got tired of seeing so much trash on trails, Pisgah Forest, DuPont, you name it, there's trash there. You see human impact, even if it's 100 miles into a wilderness area. So I just started bringing a bag of trash. I can't tell you how many people have stopped me and said, why are you picking up trash?
And then so I have a conversation. It's like, well, there's no federal state employee that comes out and does a clean sweep once a week. But what I've found with that is I've seen people leave me, and I've come across them later, and they're picking up trash. I didn't say, you better pick up trash or you can't come here. But I think it's just kind of showing them there's a different way. And so maybe that can, you know, that's in my mind, that's what I hope for. If you get more people exposed, like what Philip was saying, if you get them on the river, they're gonna know what the cow manure smell is, and they're gonna start asking questions. Why is it this way? How can I make it better? Mm-hmm. You know, who do I need to talk to make it better? And I think a lot of times that's what we're doing. It's kind of just small incremental pushes here or there, and the hope being that if we get enough people behind it, it can really start to move.
Well, we run into some of that with biomonitoring too. We have people curious that will just stop, and then when they realize what we're doing, they're like, wow, how do we get involved?
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Becomes an inspiring thing.
Yeah, public, being able to access the public and get information out there is a massive thing. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
I think you gotta get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get the kids.
I agree.
The kids will tell the parents, "Don't you let her? Don't
mm-hmm.
you do that?"
Yeah, and that's to me that's one of the things under green infrastructure. You know, parks, Henderson County Parks and Rec. I mean. If kids are seeing people cleaning up streams and picking up trash and doing recycling, you know, it becomes something that they think is what everybody should do, not just it's a choice, it's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, and then start questioning, you know, because I recycle and I have kids that come over. Why do you do this? Well, then their parents would be like, thanks a lot, now I got to recycle. Good for you. You know, they're like, we don't do it like you do it, but
right.
It's a start.
Right.
They're like, we're just doing cans and bottles, water bottles. That's a start. You know, but
well,
it was their kids. It's the kids.
Look at how many families and what we reached in the community by doing the tree planting.
That too.
Through
yes.
the school.
That are Arbor Day.
And it raised such awareness within families. And all these kids go home and they're like, look, we're going to plant this tree and we're going to watch the trees and we're going to take care of them. And this is why.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I mean, they wrote essays. And cool. Each one of them got a tree to take home. We did that. And it was an awesome effort, and public awareness is the way to reach out.
But that's pretty much what you were saying you've got covered under the education. Well, you're working on that we can't really help.
Yeah, one thing with the schools is I don't necessarily go into schools unless I'm invited to come. I mean, solid waste and recycling is part of the fourth grade curriculum, but then it kind of leaves after that. A really good place that I wish I could be in more would be high schools, but you really have to know people to, you know, be able to get into them. So when that opportunity arises, I always try to, you know, take off from that. I've done some homeschool groups, you know, and that's really a great thing because those are all ages of children, so that's good. But yeah, I mean, I try to do the outreach and education a lot. It's definitely nice to have help, but.
If you can get two or three parents of those students to say, this is what we want to see, school's going to listen, and they're going to do something. Oh, they just need to raise a little stink, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And some of the schools are really trying to do mm-hmm. better and grow their own vegetables and try to eat what they grow and all the stuff. So they're coming around.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no time your phone will be ringing off the hook.
Getting back to the green infrastructure, do we have like an inventory of the access points for blueways? I mean, do we know it's there?
That's a planning question.
Okay.
And I bet they have something similar. John would be a really good person to talk about a lot of this. Because a lot of the access points, if it's not on public land like the one in Old River, mm-hmm. then it's going to have to be a private property discussion. So
mm-hmm.
he'd be a really good person to answer that.
I think we're headed for a big project here.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
The other kind of side end piece that is maybe a could be a really interesting discussion because it's public land is the Carl Sandburg home. That's a really great place for people to experience Henderson County. You know, there's a lot of protected land in Henderson County, but that's a lot of public protected land. So, and if they have a lot of programs that they offer for people to be a part of, either through volunteering or whatnot, we couldn't make any recommendations for the commissioners to give to them because it's federal, but if you're just maybe interested, they can maybe talk about some of the ways to get involved, but again, I don't know how that's policy related, but we might just have some really good thoughts about it. The CMLC presentation was really great earlier this year, and I think that was mostly related to Transylvania Polk County's presentation, and this kind of like forest protection program,
right,
which is a good thing too.
Right. Yeah, and another thing that they work on a lot is because they have conservation easements. So say if I have 100 acres that borders Mud Creek or French Broad Mills River, it's like, okay, well, I bring my wants are, and they bring their wants, and there's kind of a melding of the two. And so out of that, sometimes access comes across an easement, you know, and you can see some of that, like if you go down in Hickory Nut Gorge, like a little Bear Wallow Trail or Florence Nature Preserve. Those are in Henderson County side of Hickory Nut Gorge, but those were a partnership where they said, okay, hey, John Smith, will you give us access across your property so someone can get to this vista or this waterfall or this river, what have you? So I think that may be an interesting, you know, Kieran may be able to share some initiatives they're working on. I know a lot of times they work with the county as well. You know, there may be someone that maybe John's heard about that Kieran needs to talk to or something like that. So I think those two would be a really interesting pair to hear from at a subsequent meeting. And I think it may be too much of a stretch, but green infrastructure to me may also tie in well with Bee City, right? If we talked about native plant species,
yeah,
attracting native pollinators, so, you know, maybe there's, you know, we've talked about, well, you need to put native species here, and that's what will attract the native pollinators.
Would help with erosion, too.
Yeah.
And there's a water component, too, because natives typically need less
water.
Yeah.
They do better in dry times.
That's true.
Get that up.
Rachel, can you share some more about your compost pilot program?
Mm-hmm. So last year at the Apple Festival, we did a pilot composting project to try and sort a lot more of the waste. So they've already been recycling at Apple Festival for probably 6 years, and the people who come to Apple Festival totally know how to recycle. They've got it figured out. So then if you're composting in the mix, and it was a little bit hairy, day one and two, but by days three and four of the festival, people were kind of figuring it out, and I had kind of a 50-50 mixed response from the crowd. Some people would come up and say, I love it, I do this at home, thank you for doing this here, and then other people would be like in the trash right in front of me if it was a turkey leg, right? Well, that's how that's going to be, which is fine. So we actually were able to get a ton of compost, which was really a little over a ton, it was like 1.7 tons. Of compost, which I was really happy about. It went up to Danny's dumpster up in the Swananoa area, and he has a large-scale composting facility. It's the only one permitted to process in this part of the state.
Is that the name of his company?
Danny's Dumpster.
Danny's Dumpster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Danny Keaton is his name. So Danny's Dumpster is perfect. So we decided to do it again this year, and what I'm actually in the process of doing is building these huge banner holder things out of PVC, almost the length of the table. It's gotten a lot bigger than that. Thank you. But that's okay. And it's going to be a big station that's going to be going along the street, and there'll be two of them right now because we just don't have enough time to do more, but it'll go along the two food blocks of at the festival. And it's basically just a big PVC stand with three bins underneath, and there's a compost, a trash, and a recycling bin. So, you know, I'm making these banners that basically when you walk up to it, you see the picture of what you've got in your hand, and you know where to put it. So it takes pictures. People don't read words, for sure. They don't read the words. So I'm working on that, and I have a Boy Scout who's doing an Eagle Scout project for Apple Festival, and he's making a really big, fancy waste station. And he's building all of it, and he's an eighth grader, and it's just cool to see him be involved and get excited about it. And then I think his troop is going to come and help volunteer. So I'm working with the state. There's a composting expert at one of the divisions at Diener, the state. He and I are kind of working together to come up with some talking points about why it's important to compost or why it's important to divert stuff out of the landfill bin. So hopefully volunteers that I have for Apple Festival will be standing there kind of engaging with people that would like to be engaged with. We sorted a lot of compost last year, so I'm hoping that this visual piece is going to really add to us not having to do that as much, because that was not that fun.
Yeah, just we.
Me and solid waste staff and some volunteers. It wasn't that fun. We had gloves, but it was still really gross. But we were trying to make a point that it's very easy to do, you know, we're trying to make it very easy for you to figure out where stuff goes. So I'm hoping that this big banner, it's going to be 8 feet long, it's huge. I'm hoping that people will be like, oh yeah, turkey leg, compost, or whatever.
I hope you put a turkey leg on there.
I got a turkey leg.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a turkey
leg. You said earlier that the recycling, the economics of recycling is very bad right now.
Yes.
Is Danny's dumpster, is he also
not
feeling?
With composting. I think he...
So my question is leading up to, is Henderson County or the applefestival.org, are they making money from the compost?
No. We actually have to pay to do the composting. Huh. We have to pay to do the composting. So, and the reason is because of Danny's time to process it. So his facility is manual. It's windrows of compost that are covered. This process is manual. So for all the bags, the compostable green bags that we take up to him, his people have to stand there and open them and sort all the stuff out. So it takes a lot of time. We are hauling it all up there. We are doing all the manual labor here. But it's once it gets up there, you know, so just the cost of being able to process it. And loan the bins to us, that's part of this program, and the bags are very expensive because they're made out of plant plastic. There's definitely no one getting it on the compost except by Danny. And then as far as the recycling, they, you know, we collect that and take that back to the transfer station where all the Apple Festival recycling gets put with all the other single stream that our haulers are picking up from homes, and then it all goes to the sorting facility that we work with in Inca. And then, you know, the city will bring all the trash, and then we weigh the trash and stuff for them. So. But that's why it's also a really good thing to try and sort it as much as possible so where our recycling is not contaminated by other junk. It doesn't need to be in there. So the higher quality recycling we can provide, the more it can fetch on the market. So that's what we're going to be doing. So, you know, eventually one of the things, when I think I listed it up, yeah, B under waste reduction on my piece is eventually it would be really, really great to try and divert food waste from our detention facility at the Sheriff's Complex on Grove, where we're feeding, you know, inmates that are there, and their staff and stuff too. But that would be a cool project. That's definitely a long-term thing. So if I can get it in the works to figure out what kind of volume I would have, it would be worth Danny coming down and get it, you know. So.
Right.
Would the county consider doing that sort of thing themselves, or is that too labor-intensive?
We've been talking with, I've had a couple of phone calls with the composting and solid waste folks at the state, and there's a lot of permitting requirements. There's like four different levels of permitting, and we're only at level one because we mulch leaves and yard waste, or brush and stuff. So the composting is level four, and there's a whole lot that goes into it. And I we're not there yet.
Okay.
There's a lot of rules too about the hauling of it. And so that would definitely be a trick. You know, so.
Right.
But with, you know, if we kind of held it from the jail, we kind of transfer station the combo stuff to Danny's, and then he can deal with all the processing. So.
I think at Furman, they compost all their stuff from their cafeterias on site somewhere.
Nice. I think Warren Wilson probably does that because they have a farm, and I think Montreat might do something similar. So.
Yeah.
Well, Sierra Nevada also recycle their hops somehow. They use it back out in their sprayers somehow.
Something like that. I also heard they use them for like their boilers or something like that.
Yeah,
and
they use
the
them some other way.
Something.
I think they're pretty close. To
they are.
There's some interesting stuff around their compost. I've heard about programs in Vermont where it's like community composting. In other words, I bring you my leaves in the fall, and I come back and get a
some mulch.
You know, and if I bring you 10 pounds, I get 5. You know, like there's a factor there. But I think that's interesting. But I know there's a lot of permits and things involved, so that would be hard to.
I've heard the city of Asheville is gonna start talking about citywide composting as a program, similar to what you just described. So. If they keep talking about it, we'll let them do the experiment.
There you go.
See.
I'll jump on board after.
Yeah. Sounds great.
That's how we like to work. It didn't work for you? Okay, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, right.
We're going to do something else.
Let them blaze the trail. Okay.
I'm going to Portland in September, and I'll look and see what they do.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if they have a green trash can, blue trash can,
brown
compost trash can.
Do you want to add any more to this? The plate's kind of full.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to contact some of these people. Maybe you and I can draft an email and
definitely
try to get some of these folks in September, and then, I mean,
October.
And then
yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, let me know. I'll go talk to someone too. If they can't come, I'll go and interview them and get stuff. Let me know.
That sounds great. This is a good conversation. I'm very impressed. I've seen this type of exercise before, and it's not been this productive. So, thank you for being involved and engaged. That was good. I'm really excited to see what happens in October when we get these folks in here to tell us about their programs and things. I think that'll be great. We'll have a much better picture of what we can start working on. So, does anybody have anything else for the good of the group? We're running a little ahead of on time today, so that's good. Rachel, do you have anything else we need to talk about today?
No, I would still offer that I'm happy to take you guys to some of the spots like we talked about, doing a little field trip here and there, probably on off days of the meetings now that you're kind of filling those up. But, you know, if you're interested in looking at something that the county's already working on or doing, you know, I'm happy to take you to do that. If you wanted to go out to the convenience center, have a tour out there, you know, we can do that. We can walk right outside here and see our solar thermal system on top of the courthouse that heats up hot water there. You can drive by the CNG station, the gas station. Maybe when we get the Priuses, I can bring one up in the parking lot here.
Just drive it around.
A vault you can have a look at now.
And then she has a vault, so you're already on top of that. Do you ever use the charging station in Dogwood?
I do. Yes, I do. That's where I generally park. Even if I don't need to charge, it's a good parking spot.
Yeah.
I have used it, and many of the towns around are getting them, so there are more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Asheville has a lot.
Yeah.
The community college has one.
Right.
Mountain True has one.
Yep. If you go to I think it's altfuels.gov, or
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's, or fueleconomy.gov. I can find it and send it to y'all. There's actually It's a federal website through the Department of Energy, and actually lists electric charging stations, CNG stations. And that's part of that clean air campaign that I was talking about earlier that I'm part of. That's through the clean air campaign. So anyway, that's on there.
In Buncombe County, when I go to Asheville, there are a couple of charging places that sometimes county vehicles are plugged in.
Yeah.
So they have a few.
And the city of Asheville has a Volts also. And I know the town of Brevard, I don't know which one it is, I'm sorry, they are looking at siting a couple of electric charging stations also. Mm-hmm. And I did pick up this book today when I walked over to West First, and so you're welcome to pass it around, but I just thought it was interesting and it summarizes a lot of the things that are happening in West North Carolina that are very related to what you're talking about, so you're welcome to pass it around.
Cool.
It's near all the Bolt Life and stands that you see.
Is there any place where you can watch the blue video? I hate that I missed that.
Watch what?
The blue.
Pam brought the DVD.
So I tried to Google it, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it on.
Yeah, I only seen the trailer. I looked for it last week, and I can only find a trailer for it.
You might can email Pam and ask her to let you borrow the copy. But yeah, she brought the copy, and then I had watched the trailer online, so. I would email Pam and see if you could borrow the copy.
I was wondering about that.
I would say my one takeaway from it was that the environment is at its best when people are connected to it.
That's true.
Yeah. Kind of like what we've been talking about. And I think to me that's what I like about that is it's no matter what your political persuasion is, that's something you can, you know, it's palatable for everybody, I would think, you know. Whether you're a sportsman or just an environmentalist tree hugger, that's good stuff. Okay, so like I say, we had a good meeting today. Thanks for everybody's attendance. And Rachel and I will be working on getting our presenters for next meeting. And if you have any questions, thoughts, what have you, in the interim, email us, call Rachel. We'll go from there.
We don't want to call you.
You can, yeah. You can call me. Sorry, I was trying to think. Do they have my phone number? Yeah.
Can I send out a copy of the most recent roster to you all?
Yes.
Since you've been appointed. Okay. So that's everybody on the committee, and I think there's definitely one more spot that's open. So we'll see if that gets filled. Maybe.
Right. Sounds good.